Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the 56th episode of the First Exchange podcast with me, your host, Lydia Daydahl. Well, we had a little bit of a break last week. There was no podcast. You might have noticed. What was going on, Lydia? Well, I had to take the week off because I needed to study for my driving theory test. If anyone knows anything about the First Exchange podcast, you'll know that I've mentioned loads of times before that I have done my driving theory test 5 times and I have failed every single time for a variety of different reasons, mainly because I didn't study. But I booked this driving test in like April of this year because I was like lockdown, isolation, going to study. Ended up, could only get a day for December. Long story short, got to the week of the theory test and didn't study a bit and text Shane, my wonderful producer, and was like, I can't do the podcast, I have to cancel, I need to study for my theory test. Well, I'm delighted to announce that I passed my driving theory test. Woo! It only took me like 15 years. But yeah, so I'm delighted. But we're back in episode 56 to get us going. I had a wonderful guest in me today. The first time I knew nothing of, it's my favorite way to get a guest. I knew nothing of him. And then he'd reached out to me on social media and I had a look at his profile, had a look at his art. And I was like, oh my goodness, his stuff is absolutely incredible. I was blown away by it. So I was following him, following his art, following all his Instagram posts, his wonderful videos. And I said, you know what? He seems so interesting. I have to get him into the podcast. And I was absolutely delighted that I did. And then he came in because he was an absolute ball of energy. The first guest that we've ever had that stood up the whole way through the podcast, which was great fun. But I had a visual artist, Kieran Hyland, in with me today for episode 56. And there's no other way to describe the podcast, but you just have to listen to it. If you are wondering what kind of art he makes, listen to the podcast and you'll understand. The link up is exactly there. He is as his art is represented or presented. So without further ado, I will let you go and enjoy the 56th episode of The First Exchange with Kieran Hyland. Kieran Hyland, welcome to The First Exchange podcast.
Thanks for having me. Ready to go.
You're the first guest that I've ever had into the podcast studio that has decided to stand.
Yeah, am I making anyone uncomfortable here?
I am extremely uncomfortable, but I'm
What about the shorts? Are they making you uncomfortable?
The knee socks are one thing. The shorts.
I'm wearing purple and white knee socks for the folks at home that can't see and shorts.
This is why we need video so the folks can see this. But yeah, you're making me really nervous, but I'm going to adapt and overcome because that's what I like to do.
Okay, good. Well, look, if it's getting too much, I'll sit
down. No, it's not. I'm just joking. No, I might have a stand in a bit. I like to be comfy.
Oh,
I like
good.
To little sit back and relax. Yeah. Welcome
no
to
bother.
The studio. Thank you so much for coming in.
No bother. And look, I said it when I came in the door.
Yeah.
I have to thank you for a couple of things. First, the PJ episode.
PJ Gallagher.
Like, I'd forgotten about all his stuff is on YouTube still.
Yeah.
And I was only watching it the other day and the Dirty Owl one, like...
Yeah, it's a good, laughter, the Dirty Owl one
like,
is good.
Laughter is so important for me anyway, especially. But like, that isn't even laughter. That's like, you're having an out-of-body experience when you're watching those videos, especially for me, the Dirty Owl one.
Yeah.
Like those, and the inner city doves, those characters, like the fruit women and all. It's just unbelievable.
Of PJ's naked camera was my favourite.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is, and still any shows that... kind of like do any of that hidden camera, you know, like people's reactions. That's where I am. That's my favourite thing. I love it.
Would you get away with it today? Going around Dublin like that?
Well, I'm actually on a thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to talk about it?
Yeah.
Well, let's go then.
It's a... not a TV show, like a hidden camera
sure
thing.
There's no TV. Never mind that. It's all YouTube now.
It's I can't remember what it is, but the name of it. But it's if you type into, if you go into YouTube and you type in Ricky Hatton gets surprised on Grafton Street.
Yeah.
It's the people who make those videos, but they basically stand on the top of Grafton Street where the horses are and they jump out at people, and there's someone, so someone jumps out on someone and then there's another man in the corner filming. So the other night it was Santa. So it was just a man in a Santa suit, right, like standing in the corner. And then I walked past with a friend of mine. This is on Sunday. We're going for a pint. And
lovely pints.
First pint of Guinness and I don't know how long. It was, I went for one pint and then I had 6 points. I was like rolled
You
home.
Had 6 points of Guinness?
Easy.
I would be DI'd after 6 points. I know that.
Easy drink 6 points of Guinness.
Anyway, outward.
And so I went to get my phone out and I said, I want to get a selfie with Santa. And then as I was doing it, Santa jumped out, but it was more for two girls behind us, but I'm going to be on the video because I was like, oh, what the hell? And then I seen it, I was like, oh my God, the Ricky Hatton thing. That should be on YouTube.
And I bet
sometime
you
soon.
As well, it was all probably phone cameras around or little tiny oaks. Like it wasn't a big
was a guy with an iPhone on a tripod. Yeah. But the Ricky Hatton video has something like 1.6 million views on YouTube. It's like in a series. Yeah, nuts. So I was like, God, they're doing something right.
You were like Ricky, don't you?
I'm a huge Ricky Hatton fan. See the way I dropped that in there.
Let me talk about a video that happened the other day where Ricky said, oh, Lydia, I love you. Yeah, we're going to come over and pay the shite or someone for you. What did he say?
Can I play it, Shane? I'm going to play the video in case anyone hasn't seen it, right?
Well, for the folks at home, anyway, I seen this video.
Go on, you set it up
Rick,
for me, right?
If anyone doesn't know Ricky Hatton, come out from your rock and just have a look at Ricky Hatton videos of him baiting boys and fighting rings.
Boys.
Lady is mad into that, all that crack, and sure, of course, didn't he send her something the other day and it was all lovey-dovey and Lady was gushing all over the camera. Of course, she had to post that as well, didn't she, Shayla? We all seen that.
Well, his manager sent me a picture of him in a Fight Connect TV t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And I literally shot myself. Did you see that? Did I send that to you? Oh, I must show you. Yeah. He's literally wearing me, you know. right, let me play the message he sent me. Right. This is an exclusive on Fight Connect TV, or on the First Exchange podcast.
This is great to be part of it, isn't it, Shane?
This is an exclusive message from one Ricky Hatton to me.
Hiya, Ricky Hitman Hatton here. Just a quick message to Lydia from Fight Connect TV. I believe you're a big boxing fan. Just message here, lots of love. Hope to see you soon, maybe.
Did he say baby or maybe?
This is a up for serious debate. I had to go onto my Instagram story and be like,
do a poll.
No, to do a, he did in fact not say baby. He says maybe, but loads of people
not
were like, people were like, he said baby. Oh my God, you're gonna date Ricky Hatton? I was like, no, not at all. Stop that.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You like him, but come on now, would you?
No, I grew up watching him. There's absolutely no way that no way. But I am going to be interviewing him in the new year, so I'm ecstatic. I can't
for Fight Connect.
Yeah. I'm going to fly
Wow.
over. Yeah, I'm just like, I can't really think about it because I will shit myself, you know, that kind of way.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's
back
the thing
to
though. Don't think about it. Just go and do it.
Yeah, no, I just, I literally deep, need deep to breath. Go and do it. Yeah, and then like just be in the moment.
And he, it's not like you're just jumping on him from a dark corner going, yeah, you've talked to me. He already kind of is connected to you. He might need reminding of it because he's not looking in the best nick there, is he?
Ah, no, come on. I mean, the man... Like,
is he still fighting?
No, he's not still fighting, but he trains.
He'd still bait me and anyone else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Probably, one hand tied behind his back and a blindfold on.
I think soft artist. I just fucking curl into a ball in the corner. I'll paint something for you, don't hurt me.
Well, on the subject of you and painting, let's talk about your visual arts.
Oh yeah. Well, no. Can I thank you for the boys as well?
Oh, yeah. Go for
so
it.
So the other thing,
right?
There was the PJ, and then you opened up my world to Outburst, pal, and yes. When you were on the, because I listened to the Babachimp episode, and I just want to say, like, because I dope in me, all my grannies and my grandaunts are dope, and like I used to come up to Dublin with the mother from.
You're from Port Arlington, Laois, right?
Yeah. So I grew up in Killarney, which is a small village. Yeah. So like I come up to Dublin into town to get the train from Port Arlington and come up with my mother for her to visit her aunties and all that. And like I remember just being on the bus and just being surrounded by Dublin, like, you know.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. And when I heard Babajim talk, and then he said something about Jay Council. And then he went back and listened to that episode, and he's even more. He's even more. Oh, he was just like, oh, yeah. Like, he was even more dope, if you could even be that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was just unbelievable. He had that. Like, if he was demanded any more laid back, he'd be asleep. Like, he's just like, oh, yeah. So I'm following them all now, and it just, every time I, like, it's not creepy or anything, but they just remind me of that time.
Yeah.
It was a great time. I loved it. I loved coming up to Dublin, and I still do love coming up, and they just remind me of that.
Yeah.
So for opening up the world, and then the video, of course, when they were going from Ring's End to the Tree Arena.
Did you watch that? The Versatile.
If anybody, for the folks at home, please go and look at the Versatile walking to the Tree Arena.
Yes.
Like, I didn't even listen to the music.
Yeah.
But, like, from hearing Babachimp and Jay Council talk about how they're from the flats in Ring's End, the video is literally them looking at, like, come on. Like,
yeah.
I was
how
ready
good
it
goosebumps,
box.
Right?
Unbelievable. Like, it makes it, well, whatever you're doing with Fight Connect and me with painting and Shane over there with this.
Yeah, Collaborative Studios.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Whatever you're doing, whatever shit you're doing in your life, you look at something like that, you just want to go, all right, I'm going to paint 20 paintings. You're going to go over to Ricky Hatton. It's going to be the best thing. It just gives you motivation.
It does, absolutely. Oh, and the fact that they're kids, they're like, you know.
Young lads.
They're only in their early 20s.
Oh,
and they've been
on.
Doing this since they're teenagers, but like, properly doing it only a couple of years, you know what I mean? And they literally just created their own community. They, you know, I imagine has so many doors closed on, like, where people are going, no one could really pigeonhole them for so long. Do you know what I mean? And they just created their own space.
Well, sure, they probably didn't listen. Like, but sure, and this is the thing with you and Shane and when anybody was doing anything creative, sure, if you're listening to all that bollocks, you're not going to do it. But then when you burst through all that and you go, here, get out of here, like, you know, and then your whole world opens. Sure, I wouldn't be here. Like, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that because it is quite interesting.
All right, come on.
You sent me a LinkedIn message.
You did that, yeah?
Yeah. I think, I'm not sure what it was, but I think you said something to me about the podcast, I think. Or you listened to it or something.
Oh, the PJ episode.
Was it the PJ episode? Maybe so.
Well, that was the first one I listened to.
Anyway, but I get loads of messages on LinkedIn, but
because... you're hopping fucking baiting the DMs out here. Get out here, you creeps. Oh, stop.
Well, on LinkedIn, it's a little bit
noisy. Was it a voice message?
Did you send me a voice message?
Because I send voice messages to everyone.
You could have done.
That's
probably why it stood out.
So if anyone's out there and you're looking to get a leg up, send voice messages. They're more personal. But don't just go, oh, hey, can I come on your podcast? Like, fucking take the time to listen.
Yeah, well, if you'd asked me, I would have been like, fuck off.
But sure, I would.
I hate that.
But sure, this is the thing. Like I was telling you, I was on a pod there on Sunday.
Yeah.
He put up a podcast, one of my friends, he's crazy creative, like digital artist, and he does all this mental stuff for local businesses. This guy had him on. So I got connected through his podcast, through Calvin's episode, my friend.
Yeah.
So I voice messaged him and I said, that episode is, I know Calvin. And I got brought back to when I was running with Calvin in the estates and the crack.
Yeah.
And just thanks. Like, it was unbelievable.
What's the name of the podcast that you're
on? Oh, it's The Weekly Wheatley with Derek Wheatley. And it's about...
Well, don't listen to that.
Yeah, don't mind that. Start here. And then, Derek, if you're listening, sorry.
Go back and listen to the other 55 of these episodes and then listen to The Weekly Wheatley.
Yeah. Well, start with the PJ one and then go on to the Outburst Bites. Yeah. But like, I messaged him and said that was unbelievable because it was also about mental health, which is something that I'm always dealing with that like every fucking day, and I just said like it was just so good, I got so much from it, thanks. And of course I know Calvin, so it was brilliant, thanks very much. And he just messaged me, said, well, what's going on with you, like, what's your crack with your mental health? And he started asking me then, so then it turned into a back and forth and voice messaging, and he said, never mind this, come on and talk about it. So I said, right, fucking happy days. Like I wouldn't listen to one episode of yours and go, oh yeah, I like PJ, can I come on too? Why would you do that?
No, but you know what, and I don't want it to seem like, oh, you shouldn't like put yourself forward for stuff, that's not what I mean, but sometimes people are like, hey, how are you? I'm, you know, whatever, and I, whatever. Can I come on your podcast? And it's like, no, you can't. But in like that, I'd be like, hey, Lydia, like, you know, this is what I do. Or like, if there's ever an opportunity, like, give me a shout. Like, we know there's different ways to do it.
Look, no, like in work, like in jobs and all that.
Exactly.
Tomos is the word.
But anyway, you sent me whatever, right? And then I was like, I was like, I think, are you, because on LinkedIn it'll like say visual artist or whatever, yeah, and I was like, visual artist, like that's, because usually the people who contact me are fighters or people in like branding or PR or something that. And I was like, oh, so interesting. And then I don't know, I clicked on your profile and it brought me to your Instagram and I saw all your work.
Then the chaos.
And then I was like, holy shit, was your stuff. It, not even that, you know, this is, I hadn't seen you on at first. It was just the art.
Right, yeah.
Hadn't seen any of your videos or anything, but I was like, your art was so beautiful. Like,
jeez, really?
Oh, it was absolutely stunning.
Share, I'll get the tissues there, will you? It's unbelievable.
No, it was.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, no, it was. It was really, like, I was actually, like, taken aback by how incredible it was. Genuinely. Genuinely. Yes, yeah, yeah. Because it was, like, it was so, expressionative.
Oh, that's all it is. It's just expression.
Like, so expressionative and so bright and colorful. And like, I don't know anything about art, right?
We had a
Macer in here, right, who's a really famous graffiti artist who now has gone on to, like, you know, dominate the art world over here, right?
What's his name?
Macer. M-A-S-E-R. There's an episode for you to listen to when you get back, right? Because he started in graffiti and now he's done galleries. He's working for all the biggest brands in the world. Like, he is, he's an incredible man. Anyway,
I'd be messaging him.
When he was in, I was like, do you know what? I was like, I'm such an art fan. Yeah. But I don't know anything about art.
Right.
And when I go to galleries and I go to like exhibitions or whatever it is, like I never feel uncomfortable. Like I shouldn't be here because I don't understand the art, because I'm able to appreciate it in my own way and take what I need from it, if that makes sense. But when I looked at your stuff, I was just like, it was just chaotic, but it was beautiful and it was expressionative and bright and colorful. And then you know, your videos and like talking about the art and stuff.
Yeah.
I just like, you're absolutely fantastic. That's why you're here.
Thanks very much.
Welcome.
That was unbelievable. I'm shook. I'm honest to God, shook after that.
You can soundbite that and you can like play it at the, you know, as people enter your own galleries.
Do you hear that, Museum Modern Art? Listen to this fucking podcast and I get you yours. No, but look, like what you're saying, like it's pure expression. Like I'm like that. Like I will go into galleries. I've been to them all. I've been to MoMA in New York and I've been to the Louvre and I look around and go, like good, great. Yeah. Like, but like if you're somebody that's like that, like none of that ever interested me. Like I was only talking about this, like I would look at all these still lives and like all these artists have crazy, unbelievable paintings of landscapes and lovely, like the rolling hills of Leash, and they're beautiful, but and they look like pictures. And it's amazing, but I couldn't. I'm like, no, I have no interest in that. Like, it was always artistic and creative, and I would always express myself somehow. It was never really in like music or art, only until recently.
Yeah.
But like you, I would go to the museums and I'd be looking around going, sure, this is like, yeah, it's good.
That's
great.
What it is. There was something about when I looked at your art that even though it's art, I just saw a musical element to it. Maybe it's because it just kicked off music in the bright colors or whatever it is.
There's music all over
or
the place.
Or how I see, when I used to write music, I would see it in waves of color or waves that would go through like a graph. So what? when you listen to the guitar or the bass or the drums, I would see the music in like different colors that would go through a line.
And what colors would they be?
All different colors, like
green. So say for like, bass, what would the color?
Well, they wouldn't be like a bass, wouldn't be a set color, but they would change all the time. But when I was listening to it and I closed my eyes, I'd see it like waves of music. Do you know, like,
were you on anything around that time?
No.
Because I've done some stuff and I've seen, I think I know what you're talking about, but it's not from writing music. It's fucking going to raves and getting off my head. But not anymore, don't do drugs, kids, but I know.
No, I wouldn't. I never took hallucinogenic drugs, but I would have taken like, what would I have taken there, Shane? Like,
coke?
No, like, what's the word?
Ecstasy.
No. Like, downers. Prescription drug.
Antidepressants.
Not antidepressants, but I used to do Xanax and like Rehypnol and stuff.
Why?
Like that. Because I wanted to numb my feeling. I wanted to numb my thoughts and numb, like I didn't need them.
Right.
Well, I convinced myself that I needed them.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I needed to to change in ways. I mean, there's such a...
Yeah, but you didn't know anything about like eating healthy or fighting or meditation.
No, you just take the pills. Yeah, I was like,
someone
had given me... I can remember the very first time I was given a Xanax. I was on tour and it was a French groupie who used to follow us around. Her name was Chloe. And I was like, I couldn't sleep and I was really stressed out about like being on tour and traveling, and I was drinking copious amounts of like wine and Jägermeister together.
Oh, lovely.
Which was like a great combination. Like,
there's the Christmas punch now.
Going on stage, like literally have drank a bottle of red wine, have another bottle of red wine on stage with me, and I'm chasing like Jägermeister.
And doing a gig.
And doing a gig then. I'm wondering why I have no voice. And I'm after smoking 20 Marlboro Red as well. Like, it's just chaotic. But anyway.
Oh, Marlboro Red. That's fancy. John Player when I was growing up. I was 12 smoking John Player.
I was a rock star. It was Marlboro Red.
Still are, did you?
Yeah.
Not out there giving it socks.
And I remember her coming up to me. I was hanging over a piano. And she said, Lydia... She's like, you need to take, she had a tiny little Xanax. I was like, what is it? Thank you very much. And she said, you need to take. And I said, what is it? She's like, oh, it does not matter. Take. And I took it. And I remember just being like, for, you know, a couple of hours, my like demons were gone.
Yeah, you were monged.
I was just monged. I was just so happy. I was just like pain free, you know.
Like getting a hug.
Oh, like literally like getting a hug. And then good luck. That was me then for like... years in a cycle of going to different doctors, trying to like fake my way into getting prescription pills, like just getting like black market pills all over the gaff. It was
you're numbing the kind of thoughts of this is wrong when any of that comes in. Well, for me, like,
what do you mean this is wrong?
Like, you were saying that you were just numbing the thoughts and anything you had going on, and you just didn't want to hear it, and you were just out and you were on tour all the time and you just didn't want to.
I was such in a dark place that I suppose now if I look back on it, it was probably my like subconscious or my self-conscious or my conscious, you know. It was my gut, my intuition, all those different things that I had like completely numbed out, because it was telling me that I was making wrong choices and I was making wrong decisions.
I
needed to quiet that was my ego as well, you know what I mean. I needed to quiet that voice so that I could continue to be who I thought I was in that band, which is like
Jesus. Do you think that if you'd, how long have you stopped the gigging?
Probably like 2012, 2013 was probably the last tour I'd done.
Do you think if you'd
7 years ago,
if you were touring now, do you think it'd be what kind of state you'd be in?
I'd be dead.
Yeah,
100%. I would be dead. Yeah,
fair.
It's
fuck.
Weird to think about.
Wow.
It. I don't know. Like, I probably would have been, you know, I was in a dark enough space that like suicide probably could have been an option if it had continued.
Yeah.
But there was always something that just didn't sit right with me in terms of suicide, and that, whether it was like friends or family or also a little hope inside me that it would get better in some way, or that things would get better.
That little bit of the thought that you were saying, subconscious, it was there.
Exactly.
Enough of it was there to say, no.
Yeah.
No,
now I know that voice that was inside me was that, you know, for whatever your belief systems are, but now I believe that was my soul. And it was guiding me, you know. It was that little flicker of light or that hope that was stopping me from, because although I was in a very bad place and I made a lot of bad choices, I never really went off the rails. There was always something that stopped me. But I just feel that if I hadn't changed, I would have died in some capacity. But now that I look back on it, I did die to a degree.
Of course.
Well, that death of the
death
old,
of an old life. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Look, you're preaching to the choir here. This is exactly what I was talking about in the last part. Like, we've all, I think a lot of creatives and artistic people, they 100%. All have the darkness.
100%.
And law has followed them around. But
why do you think that is? Why do you think creative people have such a...
They're so self-depth. They just have such high standards, I think, for their work and themselves, and they, a lot of them aren't healthy. A lot of them drink and smoke and take drugs. And sure, it's not like, of course, you're going to be self-deprecating when you're off your tits all the time.
Yeah.
And you're taking uppers to get up and you're taking downers to get down. And you're getting through the day with drink and you're not eating things like that, bananas and lettuce and all the good things that we struggle to eat, but we fucking force into us because we know that's good for the noggin.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why you, now and Shano and me, we're all flying now and we're doing our shit because we're relatively healthy. And we've done the drugs and the drink and the gigging and the fucking all that bollocks, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's good that to get that as well, to try it. Like, if you fall into it, fair enough. But if you get out of it and you can learn from it.
Yeah.
By Jesus, you are going to I don't care what you're doing. If you're collecting fucking bins out here in Dublin or if you're doing whatever, driving taxis. If you've had that and you got over it, you're going to dominate in whatever you do. Because you can just tap back into it and go, oh, jeez, I've come some distance here, horse. Like, you know, that's what I think.
People always say to me as well, you know, do you regret that time period? And I definitely don't regret it because I can now remember it as clear as day how bad I felt.
Yeah.
And although I realised that it would be very easy for me to slip back into that way of life, like, overnight. Like, as much growth as I've done since there, I know that it's still in me.
Yeah.
I can still go to the pub on a Sunday night and sing six pints of Guinness.
Yeah, and you know, if you had had the seventh or eighth pint, that could have tipped you to the, this might go into a week.
Yeah.
And it's a month and then I'm a big mess and I can't even get up that stairs through this podcast anymore.
Yeah.
For the folks at home, four flights, disaster. But like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like when you don't have the energy to do the shit you like doing anymore, why fucking bother being alive? And that's there you go. Like.
Well, there, that's it.
Jesus, we're getting deep here saying, I'm fucking sweating already.
Do you need the seat? You're good.
I'll stay on the train.
But let's talk about I'm super interested in how you got into this. How did you get into visual art? And then how that's kind of helped navigate you into the person that you are now and your own experiences and how you use them to sort of as a vehicle for your art, I suppose.
Yeah.
Was that good?
It's big. Yeah. There's another sound where you may get that one out. Look how good she is at asking questions. Don't fucking throw that at Ricky Atten if you'll fucking hit you around those kick to the jaw if you can. Stretch out those hamstrings, Ricky. But like, the journey to the painting, like, I mean, like, I only started visual art this year, like, literally in April.
From, like, not even like.
April?
No, from out of nowhere. I'm just going to give this a little.
No, not out of nowhere, but. Well, look, I fell into the art. Well, no, I didn't fall into it, but like I'd been living a life like a lot of my 20s. Like I was.
Can I ask how old you are?
31.
Oh, you're a new baby.
Yeah. So it's like people think that's old. Like I'm fitter and healthier now than I was when I was 18. I was a mess.
I was in the gym on the weekend, and the lads were doing front flips off of the ring. Onto like a padded mat thing, right? The kids, they're like 14, 15, right?
Yeah.
And two of them wouldn't do it. So Collie, the coach, was like, here, look, this is what you do. He done it. Now, it's about a 5-4 foot drop, right?
Yeah, nice drop now.
Nice drop. And they wouldn't do it. And I said, get out of the way. I'm going to do it. So I whipped off my coat and I jumped up and I done it. And the whole place was just shook. And Collie goes, if her, who's nearly 40, can do a front flip, get up and do every single one of you are flipping off that. And I just looked at him and then he's like, oh, sorry, lady. He broke his shit laughing. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm nearly fucking 40. Can't believe it.
Yeah, but you saw what? How do you feel though?
I feel about 19.
Exactly.
And I look even better.
Me too. You don't fuck. What did he say? You're 40. You're not.
I'm 36.
Years off.
I'm taking a year back though, 2020. I'm only 35. I'm turning 36 again next year.
Oh, yeah. But like that, if you feel 19, then all that shit doesn't matter. Like,
it doesn't matter.
And you're doing front flips and you're going, fuck you, kids. Like, look what I can do.
Yeah, but it's all about your mind. Eating well, looking well, like, healthy lifestyle, the whole lot. It's all.
And partaking in the stuff that you want to do, that you're not just waking up miserable. Yeah, sure, there you go.
Yeah.
Podcast over. Lydia's happy. But like, will you stop? Like, look, the journey to the paint, like, as I said, I only started visual art. And here, it was 3 months of €2 shop crayons.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't start painting until July.
Ever?
No.
What?
Yeah.
This year?
This year,
2020.
Yeah, it's the fucking year. Come on, Shane was fucking dominating here. All these podcasts, I'm painting. You're doing front flips. I swear to God, 2020 is the year. Quit your jobs. I don't know.
I can't
do that.
Believe that.
Yeah, I swear to God, I said into that. Like, he was shot. I was like, but sure. Look, at the time, like, before COVID, like, so I was living a really unfulfilling life before, yeah. So basically, right, my mother tried to kill herself in 2011, and I found her. I basically came into that scene. Wow. So that kicked off the whole, like, my destruction, say. Like, I don't, like, we can get into detail if you want. I don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
well, as much as you want to share.
So I basically, yeah, like, my mother bipolar all her life. Mm. Like, there was depression and all that in our household growing up. And, like, the granny and the father's side had it. We were always talking about it. We would have went to family counselling, like, in these mad places in the middle of nowhere in Killinard, like, to talk about it. Talk about Trish's depression and how it's affecting our family. We would each be taken into individual rooms, me and my brothers and my father and Trish, and we'd all be together and we'd all do all these different types of counselling. So, like, I was aware of depression and all that crap growing up, but, like, that's when it got really bad. She tried to do herself in and I was the only one in the house, found all that, and then I just went that was the start of my darkness. Like, a lot of sleep, a lot of fucking eating the shite out of it, kebabs for breakfast, dinner and tea, never mind, like, fucking after Saturday night, like, I was doing it every day. College, drinking heavy, like, you know, like I was saying, like, you drink 6 cans of Nagan on a night out in college, maybe once or twice a week, 3 times a week, if it was a good week, and if you had money, but that turned into 6 cans of Nagan and fucking litre Captain Morgan, or litre vodka.
Holy shit.
That was me, I was just numb, like what you were saying with the downers.
Yeah.
I was just drinking and eating to numb myself. Blew up, lots of crazy weight gain. I was 119 kilos at my heaviest. Huge.
What?
A huge, an absolute beast. Like, fucking super heavyweight, Kimbo Slice style. Like, I was massive. I'm raging. I don't have a paint, not a picture. Imagine the paint. They'd be there all day. They'd be the size of the fucking room. But, like, yeah, it was just darkness, drink. And then the drink led to alcohol fucking drugs. And, like, you know, yolks and pills and ecstasy and coke and all that, MDMA. Whatever, and just going to raise and just getting off me tits to just numb everything.
Yeah.
Like, I was with the boys and we were like, yeah, great crack and all. And I was there going, I fucking need this.
Yeah.
I can't sleep. All I'm doing is thinking about my mother and what I seen. And it was burning my brain for years. I couldn't get rid of it. I never went to counseling. I never did any of that. I just did 5 years of torture, like mental and physical torture. Now, not the 5 years, obviously, but like, you know, 2 or 3 years there of I was in a bad, bad way. And then, and then I was in a relationship that I wasn't in. We weren't supposed to be together, but we fucking toughed it out because that's the societal blueprint.
Oh, that's a blueprint I think we've all followed.
Stop. And especially,
at some stage.
Yeah, like where I'm from, like country, like she fucking had land and I was there going happy days.
Oh, if there's land involved.
Oh, stop. Sure, look, listen to this. This is ridiculous now, but I'd be out walking around in the fields, just like walking the dog or whatever, and her old, I'd be there, oh yeah, grandpa land up there. When are you going to get your house out there? And I'd be there going, you don't want a fucking house. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're not getting married. I'd be like, no. And then that was definitely the end of that.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's just stupid. Just living, no fulfillment, no helping anybody, no volunteer work, no looking after my body, no diet, no nothing. Just fucking waking up, going to kiss the missus that you're not particularly fond of anymore.
Yeah.
Kiss her on the cheek, go to work, come home, eat dinner, go rugby training or go football training and sleep.
How many people live that life now and are
now,
still
lads,
living
come
the,
on,
living
fuck
this
them.
Life.
Never mind your missus. Well, look, not never mind your missus, but look. Yeah. Just have, look, don't be afraid to look inward, like, you know.
Well,
there's so much shit that we can be doing that we should be doing, you know.
100%.
But anyway, yeah, so that got me up to what, 20, yeah, just, I had a couple of breakdowns, but I had a huge one over in England where I went after this life that I was like when I started to come away from the I stopped kind of the drinking, still doing drugs and all that, but I was like, of course, what comes with drugs? Money. You need money to take drugs.
Yeah.
So he's like, I need to make more money here. Like, you know, to go out and have fucking take these drugs. So I went after life in England, got a huge, big dick corporate job. Like that, societal blueprint. If anybody got this job, you'd be like, oh, I'm fucking sorted.
Yeah.
I'll have me house in fucking 10. If you had a 10-year plan, you were set for life. And I had it.
Mm.
Big $1 billion company. Like, don't have to get into that, but like, I was fucked after that. That made me way worse. I would go into work crying every day. I literally couldn't. I couldn't walk. I was like turning up an hour late. I was like, I can't do this. And then my missus, who was in Ireland, she was like, shall I come over and we'll do it together? And I said, no, I'm miserable. Don't come over here, you fucking idiot. I'm in bits here. But sure, of course, she's like, yeah, no, yeah, be all right. And then I said, yeah, sure, come on, it might help. But it made it worse because I didn't want to be with her.
Yeah.
So it made it worse. And of course, I didn't have the fucking, I was still so ashamed of all the drugs. I couldn't talk to anyone. I wasn't telling anybody this. It was all in me. And you can tell, like, if that's happening and it's bubbling up inside you,
yeah,
you're just, it's turmoil, emotional turmoil. So I just quit. I got out of that. I got the fuck out of there and go, right, what am I have to do something here. And then that was early 17. I went away for, I just went traveling for a few months. And, like, I didn't go to fucking find myself and all this wishy-washy shit. I just wanted to go and get lost and just nothing, no phone.
Yeah.
Like, I used my phone to take pictures, but I wasn't on my phone ever. I was lost. Every fucking day I was lost. Like, I was in these countries, like, fucking no English. Like.
What countries were you in?
Oh, sure, Jesus. I started in London. I just all over Europe, like Italy, Spain, Portugal, Poland, like, everywhere. Fucking China, Indonesia, Vietnam, Singapore, like, everywhere.
What?
Just went bananas. I was going from one place to the next, Lydia, and I didn't know where it was going. I was like, oh, sure, I'll go there. Like, it was crazy. I had a 4-week, I'm more of a hazy visionist than a planner because, like, I could go out on this road and be killed. So what's my plan? Like, I want to be a painter and I want to do that. But, like, if I don't die when I'm going home on the train, you know?
So I'm more of a hazy visionist.
So I said, I'll try and do the hazy vision travel. So I had 4 weeks in Italy and I was teaching English in these summer camps and I was living with families and unbelievable, the best. And then I spent another 4 weeks in Italy just traveling. I went from Venice all the way down to the western part of Sicily, Palermo. And my brothers were meeting for the 30th. I had one brother living in China and the other in Abu Dhabi and they were meeting in Indonesia for the 30th.
Wow.
So I said, I'll intersect you there and I'll meet you in Indonesia.
Yeah.
So I did that and then they were there for the holiday and then I was like, what the fuck do I do now? Like, I don't have, like, I'm not working. Or I quit for however long it took. I didn't tell them when I was coming home, but I didn't know where I was going. I was just island hopping and jumping around and missing flights. I didn't know where I was going. But it was the best fucking thing for me because I didn't have any responsibilities. I had no knives. I wasn't looking online at things. I wasn't getting pulled anywhere.
God, there's no such knives. an romantic ideology of that. To just be able to, like...
But we can do it.
Yeah,
I had no money either. Like, I probably had $4,000, which, it is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if you're working in a fucking shop, just save for a year and you'll get $4,000.
Yeah.
Live with your fucking outlook or something if she's alive or, you know, do what you do. When you're that fucking low, you will do what you have to do to make it work. And I did that and I just said, right, I'm gone now. I had enough to fly around, but I was working. I was teaching English to all these fucking Italian kids and Indonesians and I need somewhere to sleep. Like, I don't have any fucking money. You know, it was unbelievable. Like, will you stop? So, like, and that, no knives. And again, no English, like, anywhere. So it was great. It was perfect. And then they start getting in tune to, well, what do I like doing? What have I liked doing? I went way back. Like, that's when all the kind of... Like, I found out this recently that I was probably doing, cognitive behaviour therapy on myself without knowing.
Interesting.
Yeah, because that's when I start writing.
So explain that. Explain why do you think that? What were you doing?
So I would literally, if I was, I start writing everything. I didn't know what, in 2017, early 2017, I just said, I'm going to write everything. I don't know where I got it from. I think, do you know Lewis House? He does the School of Grace. He's not that big. I don't know if he's that big, but I used to listen to him walking into work when I was in England. Miserable.
What's his name?
Lewis House, the School of Greatness podcast.
Do you know who that is? No.
He's not a household, which I love.
Yeah.
Because he and fucking...
School of what?
Greatness.
School of Greatness podcast.
I think it's...
A podcast I would enjoy. Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
And look, if anybody's shocking in the slumps, hop off this lad. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't even know how we came across him on my phone. I think he was on Joe Rogan or something. But in 2016, I was listening to the podcast, walking into work, miserable. Like, I'm listening to all these lads and they're literally telling you what to do. Quit your fucking job and do what you like.
Yeah.
It's as basic as that. And I said, right, Grant. So I think something in what he said, to just write things, like write all the shit that's in your brain and get it out.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be constructive.
Yeah.
So I did that, Grant, start writing everything. Unbelievable. I do it to this day. I write every day, every morning. I wake up, bang, I'm gone. It's all. But Jesus, if somebody got a hold of this stuff, bet the Lord, the psychologist would love to get a hold of me. But you're not getting me because I don't fucking need you. But anyway, like, everything comes out.
Yeah.
So I was writing all this shit when I was traveling and, like, spent, because I was alone. There's nobody around.
Yeah.
And when you're a solo backpacker and you're in fucking the back of Indonesia, some island where there's only 50 locals, you're going to want to enjoy your company. So you have to do something.
Yes.
So you get the exercise out of the way and you get to swimming and you get to surfing. Then what do you do?
Yeah.
Right. And you think and you go in, like you go in, into yourself. So that's what I did. And
amazing.
It all came out then. What do I like doing? I went way back. Like, what did I enjoy doing when I was younger? I would go to my dad's an unbelievable musician. I would go to his gigs, like lug all these fucking big massive speakers around, and I'd sit on them and I'd watch the gigs all the time, and I love music, but I want to be able to do it. I want to be
able.
Did
you have a band, or was it like
did they do their own stuff? He only put an album up this year. Again, 2020 is the year.
No way.
Oh yeah.
Give this dad a shout out.
He's slinging fucking music all his life.
What's his pseudonym, or does he go with a name?
That's Seamus Hyland. Yeah, just bang him in anywhere and it's there. Yeah. Vittorian is the name of his album. And
Vittorian?
Like, yeah.
Oh my God.
What?
Astrology? Hello?
Are you a Taurus?
No, I'm a Leo, but I am obsessed.
I'm
with
Leo.
You're a Leo!
Go COVID.
Five. I should have bloody known.
Oh.
And we are so susceptible.
Look at you, fucking all. Are you
we are so susceptible to dips.
Oh yeah,
low
dips.
As high as we go, we are susceptible for low dips as well.
Of course, and look, the dips are going to keep coming. But sure,
we know how to navigate them exactly.
And we're the captains of our own ships as well. That's why we.
Yes.
But yeah, so I just
is this what it's like being in the presence of another Leo?
Jeez, like, Shano, you may answer that one. I don't know.
Is he kind of like the male me a little bit?
But my brothers are
fantastic.
My brothers are Leos, and you can't be around him for more than a day.
Well, guess what? There can only be one Leo in the pack.
Oh.
Always.
I like that.
Always.
Well,
that
has to be me.
Because one of my best friends is a psychotherapist. She's a criminal psychologist, Dr. Renock O'Leary. Hello,
what's her
love.
Name?
Dr. Renock. Renock O'Leary.
That's something. Well, Renock, if you're listening, get a hold of my Instagram there. I'm fucking trying to analyze this brain. Best of luck to you.
She's a criminal psychologist. We've actually had, she's on the first early episodes that we had here. But her, another girl who was on my on the podcast as well, Hayley Pearl Quinn, who's a nutritional therapist. These are all my little circle of best friends. And Renock is a Leo. And then our other friend Amanda is also a Leo. And I was like, it's impossible. I can't be in a circle of six girls. A Taurus. Shiv's a Taurus. Lindsay is a Pisces. Hayley is an Aquarius. And then three Leos. I was like, it's impossible. Oh. So I went digging. Found their... obviously I knew their date of birth. And they're actually on the cusp of oscillation, which is there's only one period in the year where this will happen. And they're in between a Cancer and Leo. And on this particular day, it's called the cusp of oscillation. And they take traits from the Cancerian sign and they take traits from the Leo sign. So that is the only reason why we're able to be best friends. Because otherwise, I would kill them.
Because
there can only be one Leo in the group.
Well, they're lucky.
Yeah, the head of the pack.
Fucking roundhouse kicked all over the shop. You're not coming out tonight. You fucking need to get back. That's great, though.
Yeah, but I love that your dad called it the Taurian.
Yeah.
Do you get on very well with your dad? Because Leos and Taurus get on
I am my father.
Amazing.
Yeah, simple as that. Like all the creativity, the music that I start doing. Sure, I did gigs with him.
No way. What do you play?
Guitar, bouzouki, bowron. Like I learned all the.
What's a bouzouki?
Oh, it's hard to describe. It's kind of like a Greek Irish kind of hybrid of a banjo. Kind of looks like a big pear.
Oh, I do know it.
It has eight strings. It's unbelievable. But this Shem is a really rare. Joe Foley and Ratfarnham, they're made from 1982, like older than me. Like, it's a ridiculously old the sound of it. So I learned that there in the lockdown and the Bowron. I only picked them up there a few months ago. Like,
God, this year has been good to you.
Unbelievable. Look, I've no apologies. It was the best year of my living life.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely no apologies saying that. I don't care.
Do you know what? We kind of said that as well, didn't we? I actually had a great year.
Fucking, I had a great time. I fucking, like, so what? Like,
yeah.
People have miserable years all the time. Yeah. I wanted to kill myself.
Mm.
So I've had that.
Yeah.
But now it's our year, so 2020, baby, let's go. But like, yeah. Oh, I don't even know where we were. What happened there?
Well, listen, let me ask you, because obviously the visual art, and like I would urge anyone that's listening to go to your Instagram or to your social media and to have a look at that, because they'll understand then what we're talking about, by this kind of vibrancy.
Probably should have done that to start.
Hopefully they're all still with us.
They don't understand fucking me more. Have a look at that profile first and then go back and listen.
But do you feel that, like, you know, everything that you've experienced in your life has brought you to this place where you're able to create this vibrant art?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Sure, like, anybody can pick up... Look, anybody can do what I'm doing, but can anybody pick up, do what I'm doing, like, look at a canvas or a page or a piece of cardboard or whatever and, like, stare deep at it for 10 minutes and there's nothing there, and next thing, you start meditating on it and there's stuff coming out in from deep within you, and it's coming out and it's in your brain and it's in your thought process, and you get that on the canvas and then you look at it and it's the time where you were absolutely off your tits in the gutter and you were puking your ring up. That's what I see. They're all extensions of me. I don't do this shit for anyone.
Wow.
Only me. It's my therapy. You know, it's probably, is it selfish? I don't know. Not somebody comes with a commission, fair enough.
Yeah.
But I'm in there every fucking day and I'm mining my subconscious. And it's unbelievable therapy. I love it. And every time I laugh and I cry and I'm like, how the fuck did I get there? Remember that time. Like, it's crazy where I'm going with some of this shit. Like, crazy. That's why I try and portray it with the videos, because I can't describe it in a fucking caption.
But I was going to ask,
have to get
you,
into my brain.
How would you describe the art that you make? Like, what is it?
Oh my God, I think I'm shaking here. I'm fucking going, I'm going to run through a wall. Oh, I'm going to fall down that stairs. But like, it's how would I describe it? It's expressionist, but it's more than that. It's subconscious, abstract, surreal, fucking personal expressionist. Subconscious, that's all. So, yeah, because I used to do it with the blindfold as well. That was a lot of the practice. I would put the blindfold on and I would be freaking out. I'd have the fucking blindfold on and be looking for the markers, because I didn't have paint at this time. I still was the crayons and the markers. Like, if you go back to the early days videos on YouTube and Instagram and that, I had a fucking blindfold on and I was doing this.
So, like, did you know where the colours were, or was it just picking up anything and just trusting your third eye?
Yeah, I would normally pick maybe three colours and then I did two and then one. I'd play around with it and experiment and see what would happen. And I would do this shit. And at the same time in the video, I would whip the blindfold off and like try and interpret it as quick as possible. What the fuck is that? Wow. That's two travellers on a fucking horse and cart and they're baiting the shit over it and I'm ahead of them and I'm running. Or it was all this crazy shit, like all this imagination stuff. Automatism was completely subconscious taking over. And that's when I started to... Because before those videos, or before I started doing that, I was just doing like faces and I was doing everything, doodle. As I said, 3 months with fucking €2 crayons.
Yeah.
I was just doodling everything until the crayons were down to a nub and I'd fucking go get more. And it was all like faces and just weird abstract shit. I didn't know what was coming to me. I'd listen to an album or I'd look at something and be like, oh, jeez, I'll try and draw that or something. But I was just doodling.
Yeah.
But then the blindfold was the switch to go inside, go into the subconscious, get into your memories and get into your emotions and your feelings.
Yeah.
Get that out quick, because when you put the blindfold on, all the fears and the anxieties and all the bullshit that's in your brain gets out onto the page.
Yeah.
But then a lot of it is in the interpretation then. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
And that's how I tried to portray it on the computer, because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was like, somebody needs to help me with this. Like, I'm freaking out.
And so how does it make you feel then that you're kind of like almost spitting your inner thoughts, your darkest moments, your happiest moments, all your emotions out into this art, and then it's available for people to see?
Yeah.
Like, is that, does that make you vulnerable in any way?
Sure, I don't care. Like, sure.
Yeah.
Like,
it's done.
Yeah, like, people will, I get crazy. Like, you want to see my DMs? Oh, bitch, a lot. I get crazy. Like, of course it's vulnerable. But sure, I've gone on stage and fucking tried to make people laugh for 10 minutes and got nothing. That's as vulnerable as putting a blindfold on and trying to paint.
100%.
Yeah, so I've done all that gigs and, like, there's nothing that's not vulnerable, really, when you're creative and you're artistic.
Yes.
Sure, if you say the wrong question to Ricky Hatton, you're going to be like, oh...
Well, let's hope I don't.
Yeah, but like, you're putting yourself out there to him. Of course, you love him, but that's still vulnerable. You're in front of a camera. I better not make a bollocks of this.
Yeah.
That's vulnerable. It's all everything. But if anybody's doing anything and they're putting it into the world and it's as personal as what I do or what you do, of course it's vulnerable. But sure, so what? We could be fucking dead in the morning and would you care then?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's an interesting one because, like, I go through stages of caring and then not caring. Does that make sense?
Well, I'll give you an example of when you would care or not care. Like, I don't...
Like, now is a period where I'm kind of caring. It's hard to explain. I tried to investigate it myself when I was thinking about it. It's like now that, like, we'll say my popularity is starting to grow, like I actively see it because I'm like, you know, I'm getting people contact me, or like, you know, I can see when videos kind of go like a little bit viral or get reactions and stuff. So it makes me think about the content I'm putting out. Whereas before, I used to just create, and I put up videos and I would not care how it was received. But now when there's, like, you know, plans being put in place.
Yeah.
And, you know, other people are involved. Yeah. And you're like, God, now I have to think about, you know, what I'm doing and, like, make sure everything is good quality. And I have a standard now that I have to keep up to.
Yeah.
You know?
But sure, so what?
That's it. It is a so what thing, but it's about training yourself to, like, let the feeling go. Yeah. Like, let it, you know what I mean? And which I can do. I can sit with it and go, this is an interesting afterthought. Like, let's dissolve that.
Or somebody might see this, that's important, or might take
exactly
it the wrong way.
Or, like, you know.
But then you but sure, Lydia, you can't control what all
can't.
That.
Right? You can't.
You can only control what you can control. Yeah. You know, what you're eating there, banana and all that. Then you can control all that, but you can't control people's opinions of what you put out or their perceptions.
True. Also, so try the not fact to, that, like, perception is the key word there. Like, perception is everything.
Of course it is.
You know what I mean? And perception is to the eye of the beholder, which is even more freeing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. But sure, that's it. Like, it, no different to somebody would look at your or my videos and go, who the fuck do they think they are? She's there swinging off fucking rings and doing front flips in front of 14-year-olds. You know, she's nearly breaking her back. You know, who does she think she is? That is a perception. But then there's a perception of she's having some fucking crack.
Yeah.
And she is loving what she's doing and she's loving life. So, like, the more you can tap into that, maybe. Look, I don't know. All I know is that, like, you just throw it out there and, more people latch onto it and they have different perceptions and you get fucking lunatics in the DMs going, I'll fucking kill your mother and all this.
But mother of God.
Yeah, you put it up there on Instagram. Fucking.
You're kidding me. Oh, an actual person said that.
Yeah, it was. It's they're all bots, really, aren't they? Like, they're, you know, they get the hello, sir, will you follow my page, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or, like, will you be a fucking. I got this, like, modeling thing to be, like, a. I was like some sort of jewelry. Will you model this jewelry or some shit in your video?
Jewelry. Oh, jewelry.
Yeah, that's the leash accent coming out.
Jewelry.
Yeah, lovely jewelry, yeah. But
jewelry.
Jewelry.
You know, to be honest, that's the first thing I thought when you walked in the door is he would make a great jewelry model.
Was it you that was seeing Emily?
Yeah.
Fuck's sake, lunatic.
I have this new line of jewelry coming Christmas 2021.
Yeah, your name was fucking Abacus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Fuck's sake, and you had no picture. But, like, but then I like responding to them. I go, no, go away. You're only acting the bollocks here, like, you know. And next thing, fucking all hell broke loose. I hope you die and fucking all this. So it's all, But look, that's what I'm saying. Like, you'll get all that.
Yeah, well, social media is a, you know, it's
part of the game. That
wonderful
we're in.
A place it is. It's also a place where, you know, people ask you how much you're going to sell your socks for.
Wear these knickers next time you're doing the podcast.
Yeah,
we don't have video.
And
you fucking need
it. I've done it myself where I screenshot and I never do it and I never will do it again, but I screenshot a DM that I got and I put it up. Someone was saying to me, how come you never check my, you never reply to my DMs? And then I was like, because I get messages like this in my other requests, so I don't tend to go in there.
Yeah.
It was like somebody saying, I will offer you €150 for your underwear. So I screenshot it and put it up. But the guy who had messaged me, like, was a photographer and he sent it from his work, like, Instagram thing. And I didn't see the little thing at the end where it shows who the message is from. I just put in the message.
But
and
could anybody
me,
else see,
like, my, like, 8,000 followers on my Instagram.
Then you was
like,
him.
Yeah. Like, because they all started flying. When I checked my message, I was like, why is there so many replies? And then I was like, oh my God. And there was one for him being like, he's like,
all looking for
you grass. I was like, I'm so sorry, sir. He's like, you're such a grass. I can't believe you do that. Like, blah, blah, blah. All this kind of stuff. I was like,
oh, sure.
God, why am I engaging with this person on the internet? So I just blocked him.
You're
like,
looking for my fucking dirty knickers, you lunatic.
And then I was like, oh, girl. It's my WhatsApp group. I was like, so embarrassed. Like, girls, I done what I never do. I bloody screenshot a DM and I put it on the internet and I never do that. And look at me. And now what's after happening? And then they were like, oh my God, what a dirtbag. And then one of my friends was just like, 150 quid.
Well, look, if you're stuck to pay the bill, Shane, what do you mean? We all have bills.
Not yet, but I know there's a girl I know, an Australian fighter. She's stunning, very, very attractive woman. And she is openly on the internet selling her underwear, training gear. Wow. And she makes an absolute fortune. It's $400-$500 a pop. So if that's the avenue you want to go down, then more power to you. But
this is your thing.
I like to make podcasts.
Yeah, but how popular is she? She probably needs to do, she's probably on, she's not probably up here or down here. She's probably in that middle where loads of people know her, but you're not on great card. So I need to pay for my trainer.
Yeah,
so
well, boxing is a rough landscape unless you're at the top of the game.
It's all rough.
I mean?
How these boys are, yes, you're listening to the Babachin boys and all that crack. Yeah. It sounds like a fucking slot.
It is, and that's why
they're having great crack. But bills and all that stuff.
That's why I am so in love with Fightkinect TV and what I do, is because everyone who is involved in the sport is doing it for pure love and pure passion.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no money in it.
No.
So it's a very interesting world to be in because you don't really experience that. In many other industries, maybe music probably has a little touch of it as well. Yeah, do you know what I mean? You know, everyone is there for the passion of it, and there's no money really being exchanged. I suppose it's the creative arts.
Oh, I'm sure, 100% sure. You're mad. They come and go. And this is your thing. I've seen, what the Babatin boys are saying, and the kind of low level fighters. Same thing with artists. There's this fucking. There's this romantic notion in your head that all these artists are if I sell that big painting, or this will go for fucking 10 grand or whatever, or I'll struggle along and I'll go under rock and roll for as long as I can, but as long as I can free up my whole day to paint, then I'm an artist, blah blah blah. And they have this fucking romantic image in their brain that they're going to be taking over the world, or I'll get my shit in the gallery, and I hear it. I was only in my local gallery the other day listening to it, and I'm not going to say any names. Well, it's the Dun Amaze Theatre, but we're having conversations with the people, that work in there, or not even, but the people that are around there. I'm getting my shit in there and putting it on the walls, and I was fucking doodling with crayons in June, and now my shit's going up into theatres. These Midlands artists are chomping at the bit to get in there, not just to.
But I think you're being a bit, what's the word? Your stuff deserves to be there. It's really, really good. I can't believe that you're just doing this. When you tell me that you're only doing this from this year, I immediately just think this is what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
It's so obvious that this is what you're meant to do. If you're that good, that quick, and the stuff is so good. Now, it could be absolutely shite because I don't know
art. It's all about your
life. But I don't think it is. I think when you look at it, it is incredible. And it's really different, and I haven't seen it before, especially from an Irish artist.
Don't be doing this again, Lydia.
Sorry.
Have to sit down.
I love to pay a compliment.
Well, I won't take it, but thanks. But as I was saying, these people don't, it's they're afraid to get jobs and paint. Can't you do both? Because what these people that work in all these galleries are telling me, they're like, don't tell anybody that you're coming in here, because if they find out that blah blah blah, we're going to get fucking lynched. And I say, sure, I don't care. Don't be coming to me looking to put my shit up in the gallery. Doesn't matter. Poor of these idiots that are struggling, I don't give a shite. But sure, their stuff might go up in the gallery, but sure, it might not sell. They're looking for this sale. And it'll all.
What is the goal? What is your goal for yourself in this?
In what? The art?
In art, yeah.
Oh, to just never let the flame die. Just do it. Just keep the fucking flame going. Every day I wake up and I'm like, I can't wait for this day. I don't know what I'm going to paint. I don't know what colours I'm going to use. I don't know who's going to see it. But I can't wait to paint something and go on a journey of fucking, not to be wishy-washy, but it's self-discovery. It's self-fucking therapy. What is this going to be? It's going to be a memory, or it's going to be a feeling or an emotion. I'm going to paint it. It will be mine. There'll be nothing like it in the world. I get to do that every day on a large scale, you know, and every, like, it's wonderment and it's giddy and it's just everything that is me. It's energy.
It is. It, now that I've met you, it is. It is you.
Yeah. But, that, it is, but that's you. It. But that's, but, like, it's just to do that every day and never lose that flame. That's all it is. It's not to fucking sell a yore for 10 million. Because I have a job. I have a house. I fucking, I can pay my bills and I have a full belly and I have a missus and I have a healthy family. Yeah. What more do you fucking want?
There's nothing more that you would want.
Exactly. And, like, look, I love travel and I get to travel and I get to take time off work and I get to do all that. Like, my fucking company don't like it, but tough shit, they can fire me. So I can get a job anyway. Like, I can get a job in a pub, or, well, maybe not a pub now, but
yeah,
I can get a job in my tick. You know, like, we're on a fucking easy going around. Like, I can do anything. It doesn't matter. Full belly, fucking roof, you know, love and warmth and enjoyment and something. Find one thing that you like doing and you like talking about and you like sharing with the world. The goal, what do you mean, goal, like, fuck, just keep doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I have everything. Like, it's, it, you know, things come along, like going away on trips and I get lost. And, like, I'm supposed to be in Africa during COVID and that, that was all up the fucking tits. I'm supposed to be in Africa. Not now, but I'd be in South America now. But, like, I was supposed to do that. And, like, and that's what I, that would have been the goal. Go to Africa. That's the goal. Get to Africa. Now we'll be in Africa. Just fucking be and let the flames fucking light and keep them alight and until you get hit by a bus or fucking fall down this fucking this stairs or whatever. Just keep going, like, you know, just live and enjoy life. Jeez, there's no fucking misery out there, like.
There sure
you
is.
You know, like, oh, it wrecks
me sure
head.
Is.
It wrecks me head.
Well, before we let you go, because that was the quickest hour of my podcast.
Was that an hour? Yeah,
that's an hour. This is an hour.
Did we even fucking talk about? What did we even talk about? Drugs. I remember the drugs. Can we talk about that again? Where are the orcs, you know? I know, don't do drugs here.
But listen, a final question before I let you go.
I'm glad we ended on that.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Oh, I'm wet.
Final question. How would you like people to perceive your work?
Oh, just that, look, everything I've just talked about, that there's life in it and there's energy in it. And there's only one person could have done that, and was Kieran. And for Jesus, like, there are people buy this shit, like, and they say it to me, like, when they get the paintings, they ring me and they message me and they leave me voice notes. First of all, they're like, I can't believe needing your voice note because I sent it to them. Oh, thanks for buying the painting, whatever. They're like, yeah, like, I can't believe, they say it, like, when they're in the company of this work or this piece, they're like, it's like I'm with you in that room when you're talking to the camera. Like, this painting is jumping fucking out at me, like, and I don't want the paintings in my room because I fucking have enough energy, as you can tell. Like, I don't need them around me, so I get rid of them. But, like, they just say, my God, it's just, I love being around it. I love looking at it. And it's, the painting is just going everywhere. It doesn't stop. It doesn't have an end. It doesn't have an edge. It's going all over the place. That's what I, it's me every day. I'm jumping all over the shop and I'm, you know, and that's all I want. I just want people that when they get these paintings, that look, that's me. That's an extension of me. You literally have one of my limbs. Like, I am in these paintings. Like, you know, you won't get me fucking painting, you know, I will, like, put there the cat or Rex the dog. You won't get any of that because that's just, I just physically can't do that. Yeah. And, like, there's nothing personal in that for me. I look at that and I go, we can all learn how to draw a dog. You know, there is still an unbelievable talent and it takes years. But it also takes years of fucking taking drugs and misery and, look, wanting to kill yourself to journey into your own subconscious and your own shit and take that paint away and put it onto a canvas. That takes fucking years of work as well.
Yeah.
That's what I'm realising. Like, I'm only painting since fucking July.
Yeah.
But it was years and years and years. And learning instruments and doing gigs. It was everything.
An accumulation of it all.
Yeah, that's the word, yeah. You make the words. You get there, finishing off your sentences. Jeez, we're definitely... Are you single? Are you? I'm not. I'm just saying. It's fucking crazy.
I'm married to my job.
Yeah. Sorry, lads.
But thank you so much for coming in.
Jeez, I'm
that was such. That was a high energy,
fast
pace.
That's why I'm standing up because I fucking.
Now I understand why you needed to stand. Oh, now I get it.
I brought Bickies. I never brought you the Bickies.
Ah, I was just about to say you had said you were going to bring Bickies in.
Oreos, cold.
Now I can't eat them because I'm on a very restrictive diet at the moment. But Shane loves a biscuit.
Oh. to hear this shite. What's the restriction? What are you restricting?
No sugar.
Will no you take sugar. One? Do you have any housemates?
Well, I'm allowed to have... No, give it to Shane.
Oh, you're not
Shane
one of these. Oh, I can have fucking 150 sins. Yeah, yeah. Some diet that is. Fucking 6 pints of Guinness. That's some diet.
I can have a banana.
A banana and 7 fucking
and
pints
of
stout.
And you know what? My banana is blackened, as you can see. This is how I love bananas, because they're extra sweet when they're blackened. Yeah, yeah. Make banana bread, anybody. This is how you should have your
bananas. Do you know what I start
making
with blackened bananas?
Yeah, I had 6 pints of Guinness on Sunday, and I'm just realizing that I told my nutritional therapist that I only had 4, and he will listen to this.
What do you mean, your nutritional therapist?
I have a nutritional therapist who tells me what to eat, when to eat, when to sleep, when to wake up, when to meditate, when to be bloody...
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Because I don't have a handle on it on myself. Mm. I need someone with
But sure, he's not with you 24. Are you going out with him? Like, is he?
No, God, no.
But he's not with you all the day. Like, how are you?
No, but I'm not going to lie to him. I'm not going to pay him like hundreds of euro and then lie to him about what I'm eating or what I'm drinking. So if I say like, send him what I've been eating, and then if I say he'll say, how are you? And I'll go, oh, I feel a little bit not as energetic today, or a little bit sad or blah, blah. And he'll be like, oh, well, you had,
4 pints of stout at lunchtime, fucking scrambled eggs and 6 pints of Guinness for anybody to be
sure. That kind of thing, you know, and just balancing my hormones and different things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, 1 banana and 2 eggs, everybody, into a whisk. Onto the frying pan, coconut oil.
Oh,
perfect
boom.
Pancakes every time.
Every time.
Bit of dark chocolate on top of it. Oh, unbelievable.
We actually had a chef in here a couple weeks ago, Nico Reynolds. I don't know if you know him. He's on the new episode of Living with Lucy.
What's that?
No, what's the new... What's the... Lodging with Lucy.
Oh.
Which is...
I wouldn't be looking at telly now.
I don't have a TV either, but I go on to the RTE player. Is it RTE? Sorry, no, for... Virgin Media actually work for them as well. Virgin Media player, and it's very good. Lucy Kennedy, she goes to celebrities' houses, stays over, but obviously in quarantine she's lodging in a hotel with them.
Have you done it?
No. God, no, I'm not that famous. But anyway, the chef, let me tell you before we go, we're running out of time. The chef, Nico Reynolds, he was talking about all this brilliant stuff that he makes and stuff, and I was like, oh, I like to cook. And he was like, what do you cook? And I was like, well, I like to do a courgette French toast, which is an extension of it. Great coconut oil, great courgette onto the pan. Whisk your eggs.
Yes.
Get some bread. Obviously, we're having gluten free, it's just your treat,
fuck
okay?
Gluten free. You can't get the white batch, especially from Leash. You want to see the fucking bread that's been made in Abbey Leaks to Fung.
But anyway, you put the bread in, you put it on the pan on the courgette, you obviously turn it over, fry it, and then you put, when it's ready, a drizzle of honey, drizzle of cinnamon, cayenne pepper, squeeze of lemon juice, and grated parmesan. It is.
Oh, nasty. That sounds filthy.
It's the most delicious breakfast that you could ever want.
Well, I tell you, there's your OnlyFans now, Lydia. Cook that in a brand knickers and you will be fucking driving around in Ferraris and tearing up the streets of Dublin.
BMW, fucking hell. But yeah, that's it. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. And where can everyone get their hands on your art? Where do they go if they want to look at everything online or they want to buy some pieces? Sell.
I'm on it all. Just search Kieran Hyland anywhere you are. And it'll be there. Like if you search into Google, my website's there with all the big paintings.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, it's
there. Good stuff. Well,
who's not on everything, really?
We're all connected. But listen, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no bother. It's great.
Yeah, it's good.
I can't believe it's an hour.
And then it goes very quick, doesn't it?
Anyway, I may come back. Thanks so much more to me.
Thank you so much for coming in. Appreciate it. That was Kieran Hyland for The First Exchange.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.